الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, today is in terms of the Hijri day, it is the 14th of Shawwal, 1433, which corresponds to the 1st of September 2012. And this is the sixth session on the book Mukhtasar Minhaj Al-Qasidin li Ibn Qudama Al-Maqdisi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And today, inshallah, or tonight, we'll be initiating, barakallahu fiqh, a new chapter, wa alaykum salam, titled Kitab al-Taharati wa Asrariha wa Salati wa ma yata'allaku biha. Big wasta, mashallah, tabarakallah. Had a VIP, man. Got the book delivered from Jarir with the noisy bag and everything. Huh?
We have more books.
Mashallah. We're recording, Ibrahim. Na'am, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Huh? Alaykum salam, welcome. Okie dokie, guys. Next time, come on time. Bismillah. Kitab al-Taharati. Alaykum salam. وبعدين ليه؟ What is this, a conspiracy against the class? كتاب الطهارة, yes, the last I'm going to say this title, inshallah. كتاب الطهارة وأسرارها والصلاة وما يتعلق بها. A chapter on طهارة. Purity? Okay. Purification? Also maybe more than, better than purity. وأسرارها, secrets. والصلاة and salah. وما يتعلق بها, and matters related to that. Mr. Shaib. اعلم أن الطهارة لها أربع مراتب. Know that purification has four levels or four degrees. الأولى تطهير الظاهر من الأحداث والأنجاس والفضلات. The first of which is the purification of the external from, basically, let's just summarize these three words in one, impurities. Okay? Alaykum salam. Of course, al-ahdath, hadath, or you say ahdatha fulan. This has many meanings in the Arabic language. One of it is hadith. Hadith means something new. Sahih. And also it means a narration. And it means to narrate. Haddatha, muhaddith. Naam. And anything that happens, يعني, that is new, is hadath. That's why they consider the act of going from the state of tahara to the state of impurity because of a hadath, meaning something that happened like passing gas or urination or defecation which caused that tahara to go away. So it's a hadath in the sense, it's something, it's an event, like an event that took place. والثانية تطهير الجوارح من الذنوب والأثام. So the first level is to purify the actual physical being. Excuse me. Is the purification from of impurities in general. The second is the purification of the limbs. Huh? Of عفواً, not the جوارح, actually means the limbs of sins and disobedience. Why? Before we read, how can you purify your arm from sins? أيوة أحسنت يا شعيب. طيب, good. والثالثة تطهير القلب من الأخلاق المذمومة والرذائل الممقوتة. And the third one is the purification of the heart of the blameworthy traits and the detested conduct. رذيلة actually is like this abhorrent act. That's why they say if you read the Arabic newspapers, if you read them, you will find that, for example, they say they caught, wajadu fulan yumarisu radhila, مع خادمة. And they caught this man performing رذيلة with this maid. رذيلة means here zina. طيب. So it's something that is فاحشة. It's a synonymous term with فاحشة at times. والرابعة تطهير السر عما سوى الله تعالى. وهذا هو الغاية القصوى. The fourth one is the purification of the person's secret. But it doesn't really mean here the secret. It's like the essence or your heart of anything but Allah. To purify it from any other thing which may take that place which is supposed to be occupied by the love of Allah and the fear of Allah, not Allah Himself Azza wa Jalla. Because there's a hadith that is often quoted by the Sufis, and it's a fabricated hadith, or at least it says da'if. I don't remember whether it's da'if or it's fabricated. Either way, it's unacceptable. But Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, أَنُّ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ لَمْ تَسِعَنِي وَلَكِنْ وَسَعَنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِ, or something along these lines, that the heavens and the earth could not encompass me, but what was able to encompass me was the heart of the believing slave. And so they take this hadith to suggest that, you know, the same idea of pantheism and you know, nirvana, and you become one with God because da-da-da-da-da, and they bring you all this junk about Allah being everywhere. Otherwise, how would you be in your... Yani, long story, and the hadith is not sahih. Mashi? So, na'am. فَمَنْ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْغَيَةُ الْقُصْوَى. This is the, yani, the ultimate objective. Huh? فَمَنْ قَوِيَتْ بَصِيرَتُهُ سَمَتْ إِلَى هَذَا الْمَطْلُوبُ. Whoever's insight is strong, then it will strive to attain that desired thing. وَمَنْ عَمِيَتْ بَصِيرَتُهُ لَمْ يَفْهَمْ مِنْ مَرَاتِبِ الطَّهَارَةِ إِلَّا الْمَرْتَبَةِ الْأُولَى. The one who's been blinded, however, his insight has been blinded, the only part of tahara will understand is the first one, which is removing najasa and al-hadath and so on and so forth. He will not understand the actual other three levels of tahara. Hey, so where are we? فَتَرَاهُ يُضَيِّعُ أَكْثَرَ زَمَانِهِ الشَّرِيفِ فِي الْمُبَالَغَةِ فِي الْإِسْتِنْجَاءِ وَغَسْرِ الثِّيَابِ. Huh? Muwaswas, as they say. You find that he spends most of his valuable, noble time in exaggeration in istinja, cleaning himself. Huh? And وغسل الثياب, and purifying the clothes. He has this, like, you know, every time is this urine? Maybe this is urine. People, you know, go to extremes and they wind up washing, you know, he put his whole foot in a bucket of water, you know, with the socks on, because he feels that maybe while he was urinating something splashed and maybe fell on his sock, and he's not sure whether the sock has it or not. So just to be on the safe side, just dip that thing in a bucket of water, and he walks into the masjid, you know, leaving footsteps behind, all wet. Say, "Akhi, what happened over here?" Say, "Wallah, you know, I think there was some, you know, some left, you know, some urine on my socks." We say this is nonsense, because we have a qaida, and the qaida says al-yaqinu la yazulu bi-shakki. Certainty cannot be removed by mere doubt. What you know for sure is that your socks were not immersed in urine. Right? Did you take them out of a urine bucket and put them on? You put them on, clean and pure. This is yaqeen. Where's the doubt? Maybe something came on them. Maybe. This maybe, ignore. Unless you see a drop. Huh? And you know it's urine, don't even pay attention. Otherwise, your life will become sophisticated. Not in a good sense. Become very difficult. That's why some people go to the bathroom and they never come out. Or they come out after half an hour. People miss the salah and everything, and he goes in and out and repeats the wudu 20, 30, 40 times. We've heard some crazy stories. We've heard them from the scholars narrating the questions that they receive. يعني obsessive compulsive, they call it something like that, I don't know. على كل حال ظنا منه بحكم الوسوسة وقلة العلم أن الطهارة المطلوبة هي هذه فقط. So he's, because of the waswasa which has overcome him and the lack of knowledge, he thinks that the ultimate aspect of purification that is required of him is merely this, which is making sure that he is free from anything which is impure. وجهلا بسير المتقدمين الذين كانوا يستغرقون الزمان في تطهير القلوب ويتساهلون في أمر الظاهر. And out of ignorance on his part, in regards to the path of the early ones, the Salaf, who used to spend most of their time purifying their hearts while being very easygoing and relaxed concerning the external. Huh? Whatever does the job. There's no excessiveness in this regard. But what they were concerned about is now the tahara of the heart. Is that pure? Not merely the body. كما روي عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه أنه توضأ من جرة نصرانية وكانوا لا يكادون يغسلون أيديهم من الزهم ويصلون على الأرض ويمشون حفاة ويقتصرون في الاستجمار على الأحجار. Huh? كما روي. Who remembers what that means? So this suggests a weakness in this athar. However, it is often used when it comes to the Sahaba. Huh? So it is normal to see ruwiya, because the method of authenticating actually the sanad to the Sahabi is not like to the Prophet ﷺ. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ, when you see ruwiya, you have to be very careful. With the Sahaba, they often say ruwiya. So it's not something that is as يعني, weak. Or as concerning. It was narrated that Umar made wudu from a bowl or a jar of a Christian woman. A Christian woman. Huh? So what does that tell you? He didn't say call her and ask her, did a dog drink from this? Or did she wash her pig in it? Or he didn't go into all these inquiries about what it could have possibly had. Khalas. It was easy. Made wudu, move on. Huh? Didn't have this kind of waswasa or extremism which some of us may have today. And the way some of you are looking at me, it looks like you would have been one of those people who have said, hey, give me a study case on this water here, young Christian lady. Where did you get this water from? Right? No, it wasn't like that. وَكَانُوا لَا يَكَدُونَ يَغْسِلُونَ أَيْدِيهِمْ They would hardly even wash their hands. Barely wash the hands. And washing the hands is actually not from the obligations of the wudu. The first obligation of the wudu is the face. The hands and the mouth and the nose is all recommended. Just for the record. Doesn't mean you leave them alone. But just saying. وَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ And they would pray. عَلَى الْأَرْضِ يعني عَلَى الْأَرْضِ تَرَى Not like right now. Because this is art for us. Art meaning out there in the desert with, camels had gone by and animals had gone by and anything could be there which we may consider to be an impurity. They weren't, they weren't paying attention to all that stuff either. And they would walk barefooted. Which also means what? He wouldn't sit there and investigate what's on his foot and so on and so forth. Right? He would walk barefooted and he would pray. When you walk barefooted, you would be stepping in all kinds of things. So, and all these today, we don't apply. All these today, we don't apply. Illa man rahim Allah. Even people in the bathroom, they think, well, maybe the shoe, you shouldn't walk with the shoe over here because you were in the bathroom, and then maybe in the bathroom you stepped on some because the whole thing is there's wet. The whole floor is wet. So you don't assume all this stuff. You take it easy and you play it safe. And play it safe is not letting the shaitan get to you. وَيَقْتَصِرُونَ فِي الْإِسْتِجْمَارِ عَلَى الْأَحْجَارِ And when it comes to cleaning after defecation, they would suffice themselves with stones. يعني no water was used either. Because both are allowed. Both are allowed. إِسْتِنْجَاء and إِسْتِجْمَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامِ وَقَدْ إِنْتَهَى الْأَمْرُ إِلَى قَوْمٍ يُسَمُّونَ الرَّوْعَنَ نَظَافَةً فترى أكثر زمانهم يمضي في تزيين الظواهر وبواطنهم خراب محشوة بخبائث الكبر والعجب والجهل والرياء والنفاق نسأل الله العافية ولو رأوا مقتصرا في الاستجمار على الحجر أو حافيا يمشي على الأرض أو من يصلي عليه من غير حائل أو متوضئ من آنية عجوز لأنكروا عليه أشد الإنكار ولقبوه بالقذر واستنكفوا من مؤاكلته سبحان الله And now he's speaking back in his day. And the time has ended up now, or we have reached a point where we have these people who consider all this kind of excessiveness cleanliness. And then you find most of them are concerned with the beautification of the outwardly, while their internal is messed up with arrogance and admiration and ignorance and showing off and hypocrisy. And if they saw someone merely cleaning himself, let's say today, with a paper towel, or toilet paper, I'm sorry, without water, or they saw someone who's walking barefooted on the ground, or they saw someone who is praying without any rug, huh? The rug with the Kaaba and Medina and everything there, just in case, yani, you wanted to get the ajr of the 100,000 salah, they just put it for you on the sajada.
Both places.
Yeah, yani, the most. I still want to meet the person who came up with this idea. It's my dream. What was the benefit, ya akhi? Ya Captain, Allah yarda alayk, we already have shayateen, not one, shayateen trying to ruin our salah. Do we really need another image at the place where we look, the place of sujood? Do we really need another image to help the shaitan further distract us? We don't. We are sufficient what we have of the everything around. And so now, the sunnah is to look at the place of sujood. If you have a masjid over there, it becomes a point of distraction. You know who's the only person who's not distracted by it? The blind? Good one. Besides him.
Who is not paying attention?
The one who's totally gone, aslan. Yani, it doesn't matter whether there was a woman down there or a picture. I think his mind is elsewhere, way far in the supermarket, shopping, resolving business transactions. He's not even involved in the salah period. Therefore, it doesn't matter what's on the carpet. It's like, maybe he will pay attention in the salah once, like, oh, and then he will go back to this, you know, the thinking. But the one who's not involved in the dunya, it's going to bother the heck out of him. What is this? Because naturally you're going to inquire, you're going to see the angles and the, you know, who made this? Is this Iranian rug? It looks Turkish. Mean the shaitan will present to you all the irrelevant ideas. Unless, mashallah, you're Shaykh al-Islam, the shaitan, you know, when he sees you, he runs away. In which case, I can say congratulations to you. But the actual rug, if one of us wants to use a rug, let him go buy a plain one. They sell him in Bawadi. Plain. Nothing on it. Alhamdulillah. Huh? Nice. A nice black one or any other color. Huh? The color shouldn't be too disturbing either. A plain rug where if you wish to use it, sometimes you need to use it in the local masajid because the carpet which they have is worse than the one that you may bring with you from home. Doesn't have the masajid, but it has other designs as well. Of course, some of them have crosses all across. Cross, cross, cross. It's like I think Christians made this carpet, then they brought it into the masjid. Ala kulli hal, the point being here is that if they saw someone praying without a rug, huh? Or if they saw him making wudu from some old lady's bucket, they would have, you know, scolded him in the harshest ways. And they would have called him, you know, nasty or filthy person. And they would not even eat with him afterwards. Huh? They would feel too disgusted to eat with this person. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ جَعَلُوا الْبَذَاذَةَ الَّتِي هِيَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ قَضَارَةً وَالرَّعْوَنَ نَظَافَةً. Look how they've made this this kind of simplicity which we have, which is part of Iman, they made it filth. And then they made this kind of excessiveness, cleanliness. وَصَيَّرُوا الْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا وَالْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا. And then they turned the unacceptable into acceptable, and the acceptable into unacceptable. And here, ma'roof and munkar, you know what it means, of course. But it doesn't mean here the obligation and the prohibition. This is another meaning here. على كل حال لكن من قصد بهذه الطهارة النظافة ولم يسرف في الماء ولم يعتقد أن استعمال الماء الكثير أصل الدين فليس ذلك بمنكر. However, the one who seeks by doing this form of purification, cleanliness, and he does not, is not excessive in his usage of water, and he did not believe that using a lot of water is like from the essence of the deen, then this is not something that is unacceptable. بل هو فعل حسن. Rather, it is a good act. وليرجع في معرفة الأنجاس والأحداث إلى كتب الفقه فإن المقصود في هذا الكتاب الأداب. Whoever wants to have more in-depth information on impurities and things which the nullifiers of purity, then let him refer to the books of jurisprudence, because this book is intended to be a book of etiquettes, not a book of fiqh, which will tell you al ma' tahur wa tahir wa ila akhirihi, and of various maratib of the things which you read in the beginning of the books of fiqh when they begin with the bab al tahara. وَأَمَّا إِزَالَةُ الْفَضَلَاتِ فَهِيَ نَوْعَانِ. As for the removal of fadalat, is like leftovers, but it will have a special meaning. نَوْعُ الْأَوَّلِ is two kinds. The first kind, أَوْسَاخٌ تُزَالِ كَالَّذِي يَجْتَمِعُ فِي الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الْوَسَخِ وَالدَّرْنِ. Like filth which is removed, such as things which may be stuck in someone's head of various dirt and things of the sort. فَيُسْتَحَبُّ تَنْظِيفَهُ بِالْغَسْلِ وَالتَّرْجِيلِ وَالتَّدْهِينِ لِإِزَالَةِ الشَّعْثِ. It is recommended that this person then cleans his head, huh, by washing it and by putting on perfume. Tarjeel and tadheen is a form that the Arabs used to do, where they would, you know, like the Prophet ﷺ did in his ihram, where they would, you know, put particular things on their hair to keep it kind of moist, kind of thing, like we use gel nowadays. Same idea. Huh? And then it also smells good. You know, looking after the hair. And the hadith is known to you. Whoever has hair, let him honor it. Huh? If you have hair, you can't be looking like you just, you know, you were electrocuted. Because many people do. Especially for Fajr. Huh? You look at the brother and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Safa amrak, shuan sha'ar. One hair like this and one hair like that. Scary, man. Say, brother, you know, what happened to you before you came to the salah? La, this is unacceptable. You wouldn't go and see the mudir like that, would you? Would you go and meet your boss like that? Huh?
They use the gel and stuff nowadays.
Oh, before they say mudir, man, it's a complete makeover. They go to the halak, stay there for 2 hours. So they put this cream on his face, and he will pluck I don't know what. You know, you've seen that that thing that they do at the barber when they want to fix someone's beard. What is it called?
Threading?
Ya Latif, ya Sheikh. Wallahi, the bid'ah of these people in this regard is amazing, man. I remember the first time I saw it, I almost, you know, fainted. When I saw the barber go like this. Mm-hmm. He had the thread with his ass. What is this guy doing, man? And the other guy is sitting like this, and he had his cucumber on his eyes or something, and all this white cream on his face. I thought, this is a woman, man. I said, this is a beauty salon, or this is a barber. What are you brothers doing? But anyways, you know, you gotta look good, huh? Gotta look good at any cost. So you should clean yourself and fix yourself up and put some nice stuff on your hair and let it smell good to remove this kind of, you know, dishevelness. وَكَذَلِكَ مَا يَجْتَمِعُ فِي الْأُذُنِ وَالْأَنْفِ مِنَ الْوَسَخِ يُسْتَحَبُّ إِزَالَتَهُ. Similarly, whatever may accumulate in one's ear and one's nose of dirt, then it is also recommended that a person removes that. So basically, if you put your finger in your ear and it doesn't come out anymore because it's stuck with the wax, this is an indication that you need to do something about it. Okay? Should be dry. When you put your finger, this is one way of testing it, of course. You know, there are many other ways. But if you put it in, you should be easily, you know, go back out, and you shouldn't feel or see any wax on your finger. If you see wax, they have this cotton swabs. I think it's like 2 riyals for the box, right? And some people in different countries, they have this metal spoon. Have you seen it? This tiny spoon, it's like they kind of clean it. Anyways, man. I know some people who use it. It's amazing, actually. And kids love it. Huh? The kids, when they get used to it, they come say, you know, please clean my ear. And they kind of dig stuff out and everything. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ التَّسَوُّكُ وَيُسْتَحَبُّ التَّسَوُّكَ وَالْمَضْمَضَةُ لِإِزَالَةِ مَا عَلَى الْأَسْنَانِ وَاللِّسَانِ مِنَ الْقَلَحِ. And it is recommended to use the siwak as well, and to rinse one's mouth or whatever's on the teeth and tongue from any kind of dirt. وَكَذَلِكَ وَسَخُ الْبَرَاجِمُ وَالدَّرْنِ الَّذِي يَجْتَمِعُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْبَدَنِ بِرَشْحِ الْعَرَقِ وَغِبَارِ الطَّرِيقِ وَغُبَارِ الطَّرِيقِ وَذَلِكَ يُزِيلُهُ الْغَسْلُ أو الغسل. أو الغسل. It could be both, actually. And also, does anyone have the tashkil on this word? Who had the tashkil last time? Where's the brother? Does it have same thing? Ghain, Sin, Lam, huh? Okay, now. And similarly, all kinds of dirt which may accumulate because of sweat or the dust from the road, you know, all of this can be removed by, it could mean ghusl, The word could be ghusl, which is the shower, or ghasl, which is merely washing. So one of the two. وَلَا بَأْسَ بِدُخُولِ الْحَمَّامِ. Here we have to know some historical background. Otherwise, we will be confused. He said, there's no harm in entering the hammam. Why would he even have to say that?
You try to ruin it, you try to fix it, so you destroyed it.
I
mean, it's not for the wudu. These days you can have wudu.
So what was hammam back then?
Only to do the...
It was a public shower. Hammamat back then was a place where people would, like a jacuzzi or sauna nowadays, huh? Where many people would be there in the same place and it would be steam and hot and whatever, and they would go and clean themselves. Of course, we have narrations about this issue and the conflicts among the scholars about the hammam and the allowing it, not allowing it. It's a long story. But the bottom line is, what we call today hammam, which is merely the bathroom where there's a toilet and then there may be a sink for you to rinse and so on and so forth, was not the case back then. Huh? Back then, the hammam was a public shower. Because not everybody had a shower and the means to what we have nowadays. They had a different life. If you lived in a tent, obviously you're not going to have a shower in a tent. There's no means for you to have water, you know, being pumped through something. And then if you showered in your tent, then where are you going to sit afterwards? The whole area is going to be muddy. So we have, you know, things have changed a lot. Nowadays we have all this sewage system and we have this balu'a, what do you call the drainage, right? The drain. And alhamdulillah, Allah simplified our life a lot. So that we have water coming through, you know, pumps and then going through other through another hole. We don't have to worry about much. But that's why we use a lot more water than they did. They used to shower back then with a little bit of water. Shower. How much do we use now in one of our showers? But from the time one goes in until he goes out, by the time the water regulates, it's too hot, too cold, too hot, too cold. It's already 5 minutes. And this water could have been enough to you know, shower 20 people back then. So things have changed. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ He said, there's no harm in entering the hammam. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْإِزَالَةِ Why? What is أَبْلَغُ? Who would know?
It's more.
Nah. Here it means more effective. أبلغ, it's more effective. أبلغ could also mean more eloquent. بلاغة. Or بلاغ, بلاغ and يبلغوا and ما على الرسول البلاغ المبين إلى آخره. The word here. But in this sentence, إنه أبلغ meaning it's more effective. It is often used by the ulama in different contexts. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغْ فِي التَّأْثِيرِ For example, they say, if you're giving someone nasiha, then quote the Quran more than narrating stories. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي التَّأْثِيرِ It is more effective in the admonishment and effect in the person. نعم. وَقَدْ دَخَلَهُ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ Now he's showing us his position. What is the position and what is he basing it on? A group, a jama'ah from the ashab, from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had entered the hammam. لكن على داخله صيانة عورته من نظر الغير إليها ولمسه إياها. However, the one who enters there has to be very cautious in regards to maintaining his private part from people seeing it or touching it. Okay, remember that the space was restricted then. It could be that many people are in the same kind of area and the same kind of tub. And, you know, there may be physical contact and accidentally something of the sort may happen. So, if you go there, then you have to make sure that you're well covered and that you're not close enough to anyone so that anything of the sort may happen. وَيَنْبَغِي لِلْدَاخِلِ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَذَكَّرَ بِحَرَارَتِهِ حَرُّ النَّارِ أَوْ حَرَّ النَّارِ And the one who enters there, it's incumbent on him, or it's recommended of him, to remember with that, to associate with the heat of the water, the heat of the hellfire. Because we told you, it's like a jacuzzi. It's like a jacuzzi, it's hot water. فَإِنَّ فِكْرَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ لَا تَزَالُ تَجُولُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا فَيَذْكُرُ بِهَا أُمُورَ الْآخِرَةِ. The mentality of the believer is of such that he's always, in the matters of the dunya, using them as means to remember the akhirah. Remember one of the mashayikh, said, when you're about to leave the masjid, you know, as soon as the salah is over and many people rush to leave the masjid, they have business to look after and so on and so forth, and you're crowded at the masjid, he said, every time you're there, remember Yawm al-Qiyamah. Remember how the people will be gathered. And don't just be heedless, huh? Or passive. Don't just go through the door without paying attention. No. Associate this event with Yawm al-Qiyamah. And when you are on Jumu'ah, close to the Imam, remember that the closer to the Imam on Yawm al-Jumu'ah will be closer to Allah Azza wa Jal in Jannah. So associate the behavior of the worldly life with the life to come. That's how the believers always yathkurullah. It is not merely saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah. That is one form. But remembering Allah, meaning everything we see, we try to associate with the life to come. And of course, we have many shortcomings in this regard. We ask Allah to forgive us and to change our affairs. نعم لأن الغالب على المؤمن أمر الآخرة. The thing which is most dominant in the life of the believer is the life to come. وكل إناء ينضخ بما فيه ينضح بما فيه. ألا ترى أنه لو دخل إلى دار معمورة بزاز ونجار وبناء وحائك رأيت البزاز ينظر إلى الفرش يتأمل قيمتها والحائك ينظر إلى نسج الثياب والنجار ينظر إلى سقف الدار والبناء ينظر إلى الحائط. سبحان الله. He said, do you not see that if someone were to enter a construction, huh? Like if a person, what do you call this guy? The one who makes upholstery. I need the furniture people. The people who make furniture. No. I don't mean the, that's why I said it's upholstery. The actual mattress. Not the carpenter who makes the wood. The actual stuffing of the couch. When you sit on the couch, you're sitting on a wood. And you're sitting on material, fabric and this and that. Upholster, I think, that's what they call them. Upholstery is the word for the material which is inside the couch and the sofa and the dining chair and so on and so forth. Well, I guess, najjad, yeah. Whatever the case may be. لا مشاحة في الاصطلاح. The person, he will look at the actual mattresses and its value. And the tailor would look at or the one who does the actual fabric, he would look at the quality of the fabric and how it was sewn. And the carpenter, there was a carpenter, he would look at the roof, right? Assuming it's wooden or something. And the builder, he would look at the wall. The one who's in construction building, he would look at the wall. So anyways, everyone would look at that which is related to him. Sahih? I mean, your field of expertise, if you were an electrician, when you go see a building, you will see how the electricity was installed in this particular building. Because that is the point of interest to you. So the Shaykh is trying to allude to this fact. فَكَذَلِكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That's the mentality of the believer. إِذَا رَأَى ظُلْمَةً ذَكَرَ ظُلْمَةِ الْقَبْرِ. Allah musta'an. Maybe we've never done this. If he sees darkness, he remembers the darkness of the grave. Ever thought of it before? Nope. صح؟ وَإِنْ سَمِعَ صَوْتًا هَائِلًا تَذَكَّرَ نَفْخَةَ الصُّورِ. سبحان الله. And if he hears an outstanding noise, he remembers the blowing in the horn. Huh? On يوم القيامة. Right? The Malak, Mikael. Isn't it Mikael? لا. Israfil. Israfil now. Now. He's ready. With the horn, ready. As soon as the command comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, he will blow the horn for Yawm al-Qiyamah. As it comes in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِنْ رَأَ نَعِيمًا تَذَكَّرَ نَعِيمَ الْجَنَّةِ. And if he sees some people being delighted or some fanciness or some luxurious thing, he remembers the luxury of Jannah. Huh? وَإِنْ رَأَى عَذَابًا ذَكَرَ النَّارَ. And if he sees some torment, he remembers the fire. وَيُكْرَهُ دُخُولِ الْحَمَّامِ قَرِيبًا مِنَ الْغُرُوبِ وَبَيْنَ الْعِشَاءَيْنِ. And it is disliked to enter the hammam just before غروب, huh? And between Maghrib and Isha. Between Maghrib and Isha. فَأَنَّهُ وَقْتُ انْتِشَارُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. This is the time when the shayateen spread. And we know in the hadith sahih that you bring your children in and you close the doors. This is a forgotten sunnah. It's an abandoned sunnah. At the time of Maghrib, bring your children in and close the doors. And put some, and if there's any containers that are open, put something to cover them. Even if you can't find anything, just putting something on all the various cups and mugs and whatever you may have, pots and so on and so forth. No, as far as I know, the ones that have something in them, yeah, not the empty ones. Oh, you're going to bring out the whole kitchen, ya Shu'aib, Allah arham
amma. No, maybe putting them upside down.
Yeah, Shaykh, Allah arda alayk. The deen is easy, man, putting them upside down. No, that's bunu sakir ma'almi. That's one of Shu'aib's shatahat, huh? Tayyib, ya Shu'aib. النوع الثاني من إزالة الفضلات أجزاء تحذف مثل قص الشارب ونتف الإبط وحلق العانة وقص الأظافر ويكره نتف الشيب ويستحب خضابه. A second category of removing this kind of leftover, if we may call it that, is parts which are omitted, like trimming or the mustache. Of course, trimming or shaving, because there are two opinions. And if you're interested in the madhahib, the four madhahib are divided into two versus two. Two who are pro-shaving and two who are against shaving. And the Malikiyya are severely against shaving. The Malikiyya, they consider it a bid'ah. But that is just the ijtihad of the imam of the madhab or the ulama of the madhab. The fact that they consider something like that does not mean that it is correct. Because we have words or the, you know, jazz al-shawarib, and the words used in the hadith suggest the total removal of something. So this is an area of difference of opinion. If you trim your mustache, good. If you shave your mustache, good. Provided that you are following what you believe is correct. Huh? But keeping the mustache so that it goes beyond the lip, you know. And in my local country, they have in the villages, they used to have this TV show where they would give an award for the longest mustache. And the dude would have a mustache like this. I put gel on it. And they had one in Germany, by the way, not that long ago. And they showed on the internet, I saw on CNN, the winners. The winners with this funky mustache, you know, with all these rounded things, you would not believe. Never shaved his mustache from the time he was born until he's now 70 years old. Huh? That's no good.
And we, from here, you can keep it like Umar al-Khattab.
No. But we're saying the lip. Yeah, it doesn't go beneath the lip. And of course, keeping the beard. Huh? It's an obligation on the believer to keep the beard. Let it grow with a natural flow. Don't play with it. That's the one thing you don't play with. You say, but it's not growing equally or evenly, and here is this, and it's none of your business. Okay, you're not a beauty pageant, you know, where you, when you walk down the street, everybody's going to say, oh, mashallah, nobody cares. Tayyib Habibi, if you have some hair and you don't have it there, big deal, life goes on. It's not like يعني, it's going to affect you in any way, shape, or form. Tayyib, and then it will eventually come around, inshallah. But don't, when people say, well, I'll shave it so that it will grow evenly, la. You don't disobey Allah until you decide to obey Him afterwards, because you may never reach that point. You may shave it and die. So that doesn't solve the problem. Na'am. Wa natful ibt. Huh? What is natful ibt? Plucking the armpit hair. Ouch! But that's the sunnah. That is the? However, by Allah's grace, the ulama pretty much agree that if this is too difficult for you, you may shave it. Okay? So you don't have to plug it. If you can handle it, barakallah feek. If you can handle it, no one will discourage you. But if you can't handle it, I'm saying this so no one will say, wallah akhi, you know, plucking the armpit is too painful, so here's my bush. No. You can't pluck it, you can't, you know, plug it, then shave it. But get rid of it. Huh? However you do it, it's fine. The scholars are very flexible in regards to the manner in which you remove the hair, provided that you remove the hair. Now, back then it could have been a different situation. Allahu a'lam, what's the wisdom behind it? But that's how we get from the Prophet salam. So if we're able to do it, we do it the way he did it, alayhi salatu salam. وَحَلْقُ الْعَانَ What does that mean? حَلْق Shaving. الْعَانَ It's called pubic hair. The hair downstairs is called pubic hair. Some people call it public hair. It's a dead, very, very grave mistake. Huh? It's far from being public. Huh? Pubic, ya Sheikh, barakallah feek. وَقَصِّ الْأَظَافِرِ What is قَصِّ الْأَظَافِرِ? Nails. Clipping your nails. Now, and the idea of keeping this, the pinky nail long for cleaning purposes is abhorrent. You will meet many Muslims and everything, this one he doesn't cut. Because he uses it for cleaning the ear, nose, anything, scratching. It's used for different reasons, huh? Cutting papers, that's a new one, man. I gotta meet that guy. Huh? La, this one, huh? No, not allowed, Habibi. No, not allowed. We're not gonna look at your finger, don't worry. Even though I'm very tempted. But yeah, you can't keep that either, man. You gotta get rid of that stuff, akhi. It doesn't look good and it's not clean at all. By the way, even hygienically, if we may say, it's very, very, very unhealthy. And under the nails, they say there's all kinds of bacteria and microbes and whatever that live there. And then you wind up eating with your hand and, things of the sort. It's very unhealthy and it's means of diseases and so on and so forth. Naam. So we avoid that. Alhamdulillah, there's always wisdom in the sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَيُكْرَهُ نَتْفُ الشَّيْبِ It is disliked that you pluck your white or gray hair. Huh? If you get one, you keep it. Naam, or you can dye it. Naam, dye it. Well, there's a hadith about that. It's a light. That it's there is an ajr hadith to this effect. But I don't know enough to discuss the issue. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ قِضَابُ And it is recommended that you dye it. You change the color. Sahih? If you have like gray hair, it's recommended that you dye it with henna, for example, or something of the sort.
Not black.
Not black. Hey, not black. Black is prohibited. Two narrations. Naam. One of them, I think there's an agreement that is sahih, and the other one, they have a difference of opinion about it. But nevertheless, it mentions about people who come at the end of time, who will be dyeing their hair like crows, they will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. Huh? And another hadith when the Prophet ﷺ saw Abu Bakr's father, and he told him, change that white, he had a very white hair, he said, change that and avoid black. Huh? Avoid black. So we have two narrations to the effect that you should not dye your hair black, whether it is your head or your beard. Damn? No, I'm stunned. Watch the lecture, off they go. About the strangers. But just for the record, to be fair towards these people, there are scholars who allow it. So one of them may actually be following that opinion. So we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. And we don't assume, we ask him, say, Akhi, are you aware of the narrations? He may tell, yes, I'm aware, but I don't believe this position is valid. I follow another position because this hadith was da'if or khas, or whatever he may give you, in which case we have to back off. We don't automatically assume the worst about this person before we know his reason. That's what we have to know when there's a difference of opinion and you want to give da'wah, you must be aware of the difference of opinion. So that you will know when you give the person, he tells you, yeah, I know already and I don't follow this position, you can no longer force him or you can no longer enjoin the good forbid the evil. Because he's following a position which he believes is correct. So you have to leave him alone. So there are opinions which allow it. Okay? And there are other opinions which say, look, If you buy this thing from the supermarket and it says brown, and it's dark brown, it doesn't matter. As long as it's not black, it's fine. So when you actually look at him, you can swear it's black. But the truth of the matter, it is not pure black. It is some very dark brown. And so he is now excused. Because he said, I didn't dye black. I know black is not, and I didn't get black. I got dark brown, but you know. It looks black to you now because there's no sun. And if I were to go in the sun and you would look at it, then you would see it. Then you know, you go into a whole other discussion. ونعم وباقي مراتب الطهارة يأتي في ربعي في ربعي أو المهلكات والمنجيات إن شاء الله تعالى. The rest of the levels of the tahara, they will be discussed in the quarter dealing with the destroyers and the savers. إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم, because he only discussed right now some. He did not discuss all. We still have to deal with the purification of the limbs from sins, and the purification of the heart, and the purification of the heart further from anything besides Allah Azza wa Jal. فصل في فضائل الصلاة, a chapter on the virtues of salah. وأما الصلاة فإنها عماد الدين وغرة الطاعات. As for salah, it is the main, it is the main pillar of the religion, and it is the like the front or the forehead or the beauty part of the acts of worship. نعم, it's like the crown of the acts of worship. وقد ورد في فضائل الصلاة أخبار كثيرة مشهورة ومن أحسن آدابها الخشوع. And there has been, does anyone have a tissue? I do. And it has been narrated in regards to the virtues of salah many, many, many evidences. Huh? كثيرة, a lot. مشهورة, yeah, we wouldn't want to use famous here. Huh? So known, popular. No. And amongst the best of the etiquettes of salah is khushu'. We were discussing this in the dars, huh? In old airport masjid. Subhanallah. On khamis, yom al-khamis. وقد روي عن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنهما أو رضي الله عنه عفوا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال ما من امرئ تحضره صلاة مكتوبة أو صلاة مكتوبة. There isn't an individual who to whom the time of salah comes, prescribed salah, fariḍa. Huh? The time comes of that salah. فيحسن وضوءها. So he properly performs its wudu. وخشوعها, and its submissiveness. وركوعها, huh? And the bowing. إلا كانت كفارة لما قبلها من الذنوب ما لم يأتي بكبيرة وذلك الدهر كله. رواه المسلم واللفظ له والبخاري. نعم. Except that this salah will be means of expiating whatever he had committed of sins before the salah, provided that he did not commit a major sin. That is not included. It will forgive the minor sins, but not the major sins. And that is for the whole lifespan, for his whole lifetime. It will forgive all of the sins. It will expiate all of the sins for his whole lifetime. Huh? Zunub.
What about the sins, the minor sins which become major
over time? Well, still, they are major. Then they become major fi haqqihi, in regards to him. So the hadith speaking about minor sins. وله في حديث أيضا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال من صلى ركعتين لا يحدث فيه با نفسه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Also متفق عليه. And also from the same صحابي أبو هريرة عثمان عفوا, he also narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said whosoever prays two rak'at, and this one doesn't mention fariḍa now, huh? He does not speak to himself during them. It will be means of all of his previous sins to be forgiven. What does it mean, yukallibu nafsa? Not the actual verbal conversation. Meaning, there's no distraction whatsoever. He is totally focused on his salah and on every word he's saying. And in ruku' and in sujood until the taslim. From the beginning till the end, he's left the whole world and he's engaged in the salah. then his all of his sins will be forgiven. There's a reason why this big reward is given, because attaining that requires some serious work. And it is not the kind of work which you meditate for 5 minutes before the salah and you prepare yourself, then you think you go. It's not. They are external and internal factors. It's someone's lifestyle. Let's put it that way. Our lifestyle will determine whether we will ever be able to do this or not. So someone who is involved in all kinds of sins will not be able to do this. No matter what kind of preparation and concentration he puts an effort to, when the time, as soon as he stands, gone. Because other things did not aid in this regard. So that's why, when one of us sins, subhanAllah, we should look ahead. We don't just look at that sin. What it will bring with it will be a lot. Even if Allah forgives that sin, it may affect us in other regards. وكان عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنهما إذا قام في الصلاة كأنه عود من الخشوع. عبد الله بن الزبير, whenever he would stand up in prayer, he would be like a pole from خشوع. يعني like he's just he's straight up, doesn't move. وكان يسجد فتنزل العصافير على ظهره لا تحسبه إلا جذع حائط. And when he would make sujood, the birds, the sparrows, would come down on his back thinking that he's just some inanimate object. وصلى يوما في الحجر فجاء حجر قذافة فذهب ببعض ثوبه فمن فتل. And once he was praying in his room, so something came, like someone threw a rock or something, and it removed part of his thawb, and he did not even pay attention, did not even move, didn't even twitch. وقال ميمون بن مهران ما رأيت مسلم بن يسار ملتفتا في صلاة قط. الله أكبر. ولقد انهدمت ناحية من المسجد ففزع أهل السوق لهدتها وإنه لفي المسجد يصلي فما التفت وكان أهل بيته إذا دخل المنزل سكتوا فإذا قام إلى الصلاة تكلموا وضحكوا. الله المستعان. Now this is something else, man. These salaf of ours, قسما بالله, man, they put us to shame. That's why we are saying that one is salafi is easy. Anybody can say it. Now we got people who revert into, from Christianity to Islam, and the very next week he's a Salafi. But is he a Salafi? La. I mean, the word is easier. It's like someone giving himself the title, Allah, I am the Mudir. Anybody can print a card, and put Mudir on it, or Ustav, or some fancy title. But does that mean that he is that? La. And when you give yourself this title and you don't live up to it, what does it do? Besides making you look bad, it's also tarnishing that title. That title itself has become lowly. Anybody takes it. Oh, anybody. Oh, Mudir. We've come across 20 Mudir. None of them is a Mudir. You're another Mudir. Yalla, next. So it actually undermines the value of the title. The term Salafi, that's a heavy, heavy, heavy term. Ya'ani, that means that what these Sahaba were upon, we are upon. Where are we from there? Ya Sheikh, we got years to go. We're far away. So to give that's why some of the ulama said, one of their reasons why you shouldn't call yourself Salafi, is they said, this is tazkiyah. You're praising yourself. You are praising yourself by giving yourself an attribute which you don't have. And you're bringing these lofty people to the level to your level, and you're not at their level. You're bringing them down to your level by giving yourself a title which they deserved. You're attaching yourself to them. It's like attaching yourself to the royal family, and you're not from the royal family. So I mean, we have to look at beyond what is in front of us. Well, it's not about calling oneself Salafi, it's about being a Salafi. Now, if one of us was a Salafi in action, then he followed the position of the scholars who allowed the person to call himself Salafi, it's not the end of the world. We will work it out. You're entitled to follow Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. No one can say anything about that. But leave alone those who don't agree. If we gave you the right to follow Imam Al-Bani, give us the right to follow Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. So it's not, you don't have the right to impose on us the opinion of Sheikh Al-Bani when we have the opinion of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said, it's not allowed for you to say this. Not in one occasion, not in two, in three, four, five, six, seven occasions. He re-emphasized it. In one of them times, he was having a debate with their Sheikh. It wasn't supposed to be a debate. It was supposed to be a joint lecture in Jeddah. You can find it on YouTube. You can find, I have the recording on my phone. Huh? Their Sheikh, I'm not going to mention his name, was Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Both of them addressing the audience, and they differed on this issue in front of the people. And that Sheikh insisted on the term Salafi, and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen insisted on not using the term Salafi and not having a group called Salafis publicly. It's recorded. It's all over the place. So when they make a big issue, if you don't call yourself that, you're now exempt from the manhaj and you're out of the manhaj and you're this and that and you're off the manhaj and so on and so forth. This is ya akhi dhulm. Because we followed an imam, which we all agree about his salafiyya. And you followed an imam whom we agree about his salafiyya. I respect for to say your position, respect mine. But that's not how it goes. So then we say, now we're sitting here, what happened to us? We started fighting about what? The name. While the Sufis are moving on and building universities and misleading the masses, we're amongst each other, huh? Killing each other over the name, and none of us is really a Salafi, according to this. Which is the point. So instead of being over-occupied with the term, let's see what these people were doing and then see where we are. And as the Sheikh has been saying over the book, purify the heart instead of being stuck with the externals.
What's the meaning of Salafi?
Someone who follows the Sahaba and the generation which came after them and the generation which came after them. The first three generations which are blessed. Listen to the lecture, The Saved and Aided Sect on YouTube. The Saved and Aided Sect. It summarizes the... Inshallah now. You're new, huh?
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. We don't have a special club. Don't misunderstand me here. No? We have no club, yeah. No association with any group. Now listen to this, Maymoon. Maymoon said, I saw Muslim bin Yasar. Huh? I've never seen him ever look or turn in his salah. Never. Yani... Every time he saw him, he was looking at the place of where he's supposed to look. Not like we do nowadays. You've seen the people pray like this, you know. You walk by him, he looks at you. So you were praying? I didn't know you were praying. So I'm like, look in front of you, what are you doing? Wallah, this happened, wallah, not once, many times. And then I look at him and say, you praying, pray? He's about to leave the salah. Say, what do you want from me? Continue. Abu Yahya, Allah is Hadi salah, ya Sheikh. Anta, what do you want? Especially those who come late. Even worse, one of the most common ones is when you finish the salah. When you finish the salah, the first two rows are the ones who finish with the imam because they caught takbirat al-ihram. Then the rest will get up. Look at those who get up. And what annoys me the most, honestly, is when a man with this beard, a beard this big, is the one looking all around to see who's in the first row, and the one who doesn't have a beard is actually looking where he's supposed to look. Why am I saying that? Because it is assumed that the people with beard are the representatives of the sunnah, and those without it are not. And that's how people, let's stop playing games. If there are three people who are about to pray in a jama'ah, who's going to be the imam?
The one with the longest beard.
No way on earth they will let someone without a beard lead them in salah. Even the one without a beard himself, he knows. He says, "Na ya Sheikh, tfaddal." He doesn't speak Arabic or know the Quran. Ma fi mushkila. He has a beard. I mean, that's the ticket to the imama. Huh? So when we misrepresent it, then it becomes really bad. Huh? So we say the one without a beard and the one... Everybody should have a beard. But until then, everybody should look at the place of sujood. What are you worried about the people in the first row and the second row? You're looking at them. It doesn't concern you. Continue looking in the place of sujood. So Muslim bin Yasar was never seen turning. It gets even wilder. One time, a whole section of the masjid fell apart. Yani you imagine a construction, a masjid, one half of the masjid is gone. Huh? And all of the people panicked and were scared, and he was praying in the masjid, he didn't even look. Yani, wouldn't you think like one of us would at least would go like this, you know? He makes sure that he's okay. Then the guy didn't even, the whole masjid fell apart and he's in his own world. Now look at this. When he would enter his home, huh? Everybody at home will be quiet. When he comes home, no one says a word. When he begins the salah, they will start talking and laughing. Why? Because when he's praying, he doesn't know what's going on. Yani, which one of us can do this now? We are the opposite, huh? When we come home, this is the girgir and everything, and when we start the salah, not even a word. Because anything will ruin it for us. And you know, of course, don't ask about the father who will be praying and then his, you know, he hears his children make a joke, he starts laughing in the salah. He's involved with them all the time. Yeah, Sheikh, that was a good joke. Yeah, boy, what is this? I'm telling you, man, people do crazy stuff in the salah. He's with the family, and the salah is the family. And then some of them, you know how, you want to know how they're not in the salah? As soon as they finish, they were hearing the whole conversation. Say, by the way, you were talking about this issue earlier. And, you know,
Why
don't have...
this?
Are you praying or are you sitting with us? So he's in the salah with the people. So in our case, we should actually tell our children and family to be quiet. Because honestly, anything will distract us. And if we hear them having conversation, ala tul, we will go with them. So tell them, look, we already have the problems we have. Barakallahu fikum. When I'm praying, at least that's what I do. I don't want to hear a word. Don't talk to me or your mother or nothing. Nobody speaks to anyone until these, you know, rak'atan are done. And then we can have a conversation. Otherwise, we already have the calamities we have. The children speaking in the background is not going to help. So you train the children so they will respect the people in salah. Because obviously none of us like Muslim bin Yasar rahimahullah. وَكَانَ عَلِي بْنِ الْحَسَنِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا إِذَا تَوَضَّ أَصْفَرَّ لَوْنُهُ. This is the last one before we conclude. Ali ibn al-Hasan رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْهُمَا عَنْ يعني him and his father. If he made wudu, he will become yellow. When does someone become yellow? When he's really scared. When you're really scared, your color will change. فَقِيلَ مَا هَذَا الَّذِي يَعْتَدُكَ عِنْدَ الْوُضُوءِ. They said, what is this issue with you every time you make wudu? You know, you become different, your color changes. قَالَ أَتَدْرُونَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ مَنْ أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَقُومُ. Do you know, he said, between the hands of who I'm about to stand up? Yani, he would really give Allah Azza wa Jal what he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserves in terms of the awe which a believer should have towards Allah. So we ask Allah to have mercy on us, Ya Akhwan, because you know, we know, each one of us knows himself how far we are from being like these people. But we hope that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ will apply to us, that whoever loves a group of people, huh, he will be with them. And so even though we cannot do, like Anas said, he said, I cannot do what Abu Bakr did and Umar and Uthman, but I love them. And I hope Allah will put me in their company because of my love with them will result in being with them even though I did not do their work. And similarly, we ask Allah to place us with the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ and the Tabi'een and Atba'u Tabi'een even though we cannot come close to what they were upon in terms of their righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.